She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And remember, we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And we are going to give you such fun things to think about today. We're going to be talking a lot about kid power and about how a small group of individuals decided to change the world. And so they are. And you'll hear more about that. I'll introduce my guests in a minute. This show is sponsored by Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona, whose mission is to provide services, training, and jobs to people with barriers to employment, and do they ever. Goodwill is rocking it in our community, and don't forget to shop Goodwill. It's the best way to reduce, reuse, and recycle. So I am one of the people that lives in awe of the amazing power of kids and their ability to change the world, but it takes leadership. And so we have the perfect combination of leadership and inspiration, and I love that. And you can hear the enthusiasm in my voice. Our two guests today are Land Wilson, and I tried to fit Land into a soundbite, and I can't. He's a teacher, he's a father, he's a volunteer, he's an environmental author. He is inspiration personified. And then we have, and this makes me really smile, Mariana Stanley, a student at Sun Valley Elementary School in San Rafael, California. And for those of you East Coast and around the world listeners, that's in Marin County, right over the Golden Gate Bridge, and everybody knows what that is. So Land and Mariana, wonderful to have you with us today, and thank you for sharing your amazing journey with us in this next hour. Can you just say hi before I do a brief announcement?
Hi.
Hi. Hello. Mariana. Hi, Land. Okay, I have to do one brief announcement about a company that is sustainable from the inside out, and they are a national sponsor of Mrs. Green's World, and their name is Ecobella. They are a company that really and truly Sun Valley kids will never have to take on. They sell amazing skincare and natural beauty products, and their products are natural, sustainably sourced, fair trade, no cruelty to animals. The list goes on. So not only do their products not harm our skin, they never harm the environment. They are stewards of the environment at the highest level, including their packaging and how they ship. So please do a little extra homework, no matter what products you're purchasing. It so fits into the theme of this show, and make sure that you're supporting a company that is making our world a better place with their integrated approach. Check them out at their website, Ecobella with two C's.com, and you'll be glad you did. You can trust them. Okay, let's get started with this show. Land Wilson, as I said, a parent, a volunteer, an inspiration, and Mariana Stanley, a student, a very young student at Sun Valley Elementary School in San Rafael. And we're going to talk about their amazing their movement. I'm calling it a movement. Their green team, their Kids Who Care team, that set out to challenge a huge corporation, Crayola, and not challenge them, but invite them to become better stewards of the community by starting a recycling program for the plastic markers. And everybody who's alive on the planet, at least in the United States, knows about those Crayola markers, because we all had volumes of them coming to our house because our kids love them. And because of their tenacity, they have succeeded in making a difference. So now that's enough of my voice. Land, let's give a little bit of background on you and your story as an environmental leader and what got you to be here on the show and your journey.
Okay. Where did my interest in the environment start? Is that...
Because it started a long time ago, not just at being a parent at Sun Valley Elementary. You were an environmental author. You have really won some awards from the books you've written. So what made you first decide this is really a serious issue, and as a human being, I'm going to care about it and show up as an environmental steward?
Well, you know, my interest in the environment started at a very young age. I was about four. I grew up here in the Bay Area, and back in the early 1970s, there were two oil tankers that collided under the Golden Gate Bridge, and more than 800,000 gallons of oil was spilled underneath the Golden Gate Bridge. That actually isn't the largest oil spill that has occurred under the bridge. There was one back in the, I want to say, either the 30s or the 40s, and close to 3 million barrels were spilled. But this 800,000 gallon spill was huge, and all of our beaches around here were covered in black sludge. At the time, my mom was part of a team that coordinated the beach cleanups. And
wow.
One time I was brought out to one of the beaches, and I will never forget what I saw as a kid. And what it was this carnage of birds that were covered in oil. Many of them didn't make it. And it was this kind of gruesome scene that just really left this impression in my mind. And that stayed with me, and it was at that I didn't realize at the time that was, you know, making this impression, this lifelong impression. But kind of on an unconscious level, I think what was there for me was that this idea that, you know, humans, we really can be destructive to our world, and that's what was there for me at the time, and it stayed with me. And then I think growing up, I was at different times looking for ways to express my interest in protecting the environment, and it took me a while to find out, you know, what I could do or where I could contribute, and I would try different things. I wrote some things in my yearbook in high school, but it wasn't until I kind of ventured into writing little kids' stories, which kind of became a hobby. I started writing as a hobby in college, and then about the time that I knew that I wanted to have kids, I started experimenting with children's literature and creating stories, because I was drawn to the idea that stories, little stories, could really teach kids things. And the idea of creating something that could teach kids to want to protect the planet sounded like such a great challenge and such a fun thing to do. And when I knew that I wanted to have kids, I thought, hey, I could teach them and other kids too. And that's kind of the thumbnail sketch of
the Reader's Digest version. But it's really interesting to me, even in looking at my journey, I had no idea when the seeds were being planted for the birth of Mrs. Green, as I call it. But the hook was being set for us and our paths long before we really recognized what path we were on. So I love that. And the other little commentary is how sad it is to me that from that day that you saw the oil spill, wouldn't it be nice to say, well, we don't have to worry about that anymore, but let's make the show about the kids who care and not about the oil spills that are still happening every day. Let's talk about who the Kids Care Group is, how it got started, how old they are. You're this person who staffs it. So give us a little background on the Kids Who Care, the Green Team program at Sun Valley.
So the Kids Who Care is a lunchtime activity at Sun Valley Elementary School in Santa Fe. The group is made up of approximately 60 to 70 students, ranging from about 7 to 11 years of age. It's staffed by me. I'm a parent and volunteer at Sun Valley, and an environmental children's author. This program, well, it was part of the school's Green Team program. We call it Mr. Land's Green Team right now. It is there to encourage environmental activities and education. Our principal back about, I'll say maybe about a year and a half ago, came to me and said, you know, we've had some budget cuts, we're short-staffed, I'm looking for some extra enrichment activities at lunchtime. You know, I know you're interested in the environment. Do you have any ideas? What do you think about that? And I thought that was really exciting. And so we started talking with some parents and kids about, you know, what we could do. And the issue of plastic markers kind of started being discussed, because it was something that we all could kind of relate to. There's this steady flow of this product from, you know, when you buy it to when you're done with it, right into the trash. And so the kids, we put an all-call announcement out to our school for kids wanting to get involved with our lunchtime Green Team project. And the kids, they decided quickly that they wanted to take on this project because it was so close to their lives. They all really could identify with it. And that's when we decided, okay, well, you know, let's call Crayola and see if they would talk with us, because they're the largest manufacturer of plastic markers, and that's kind of how it kind of all sort of started.
So it was the Green Team was, I want to go kind of sequentially. So the Green Team was in place, and then you decided to take on Crayola, or was the idea born throughout this whole thing as an idea to say, what one thing can we do to make a difference?
The Green Team was already in place, but there was really nothing going on.
Right, got it.
And so the principal wanted something, an extra activity at lunchtime for kids to be involved in if they wanted to, you know, have some extra enrichment. And so when we, you know, kind of did this and we had this overwhelming enthusiasm from the kids, all of a sudden that kind of became
the catalyst,
what the Green Team wasn't doing, and everything that, you know. So it just sort of,
and you did research on the numbers, and you sent it in your notes to me. I mean, what I have is 500 million plastic markers are manufactured each year, and I love visuals. It is enough to circle the Earth 3 times, so that's something that kids can get a visual for. I certainly can get a visual for. So you established what you hoped would be a take-back program for the plastic markers, because they could stop millions of markers from becoming landfill waste and polluting. They're toxic in their very origin. So what happened? Tell us a little bit about that journey. And Mariana, thank you for being patient. We are going to make it all about you. And I want our listeners to know you're being great and you're on there, okay?
She's
okay.
Okay, good. There's that voice I want to hear. So go ahead. So what happened? The kids gave up their lunch times. They volunteered on their own to be a part of this.
Before we started a petition, we reached out to a teacher, a fourth grade teacher back in Massachusetts. This is a teacher named Ted Wells who started he has a handful of environmental projects that he works on with his kids, but he and his fourth grade students had done a petition about 6 months before any of this started. They petitioned Universal Studios to update the marketing for the Lorax movie, because these kids had studied the Lorax and were so excited for the movie to come out. But when all the marketing came out for the movie and the trailer, and there was no mention of this environmental message. And that, you know, that was Dr. Seuss's environmental
masterpiece. Unbelievable! No kidding. Who doesn't love the Lorax?
The kids were really bothered by this, so they created a change.org petition and successfully encouraged Universal Studios to update that, their marketing campaign for the movie, and it worked. And so we were really inspired. I was really inspired by this, and I knew that this had occurred. So I, on behalf of the kids, I reached out to Ted to ask him for some advice on creating a petition, he suggested we reach out to Crayola just to check in with them first, and we took his advice, and we called them, we spoke with their product safety department, but they said there was absolutely no one that we could speak to about our ideas and doing this, and so then it just seemed like, you know, a petition was kind of an option for us, and that's when we all started working together, and we started writing letters and
pump up the volume.
Pump up the volume, right? And we did a video message and lesson plans, and these kids are amazing. I have to say, it's been one of the most enjoyable work experiences that I've ever had. You know, I started getting to work with these kids that gave up their lunch times every Wednesday, from when we started to the end of the school year. This was in April of 2012 to the end of that school year. You know, and these kids, you know, when you're in class all day, you know, you want to go out and you want to run around. You don't want to, you typically don't want to go and sit in a multipurpose room on a hard linoleum floor
and work,
you know,
some more.
Right. But not these kids. These kids, the group started out with about 40 kids, and they showed up and they worked and they committed themselves, and they were there with enthusiasm and great energy to, like, say, hey, this is important to us and we want to do something. And they had these great things to share. Their voices were just so inspiring and so authentic.
And the video is fabulous. I mean, talk about me getting excited about this show. I watched the video a couple of times, and it's like, I want to come there and meet these kids. That's how I feel. It's like, oh my gosh, they are not just adorable, they're on purpose, and they're articulate, and it's such a wonderful developmental asset. So you decided to help through change.org, and I really have to make a note about Ted Wells. He sounds like another great show guest. So you partnered with change.org, and you started getting attention. And talk about the national partnerships, or the you really created, activated a green matrix on your own and ended up collecting how many signatures?
Well, by the time we declared victory, which was about a month after Earth Day this year, we got right up to about 92,000 signatures.
Amazing. Like, that is hard. It is hard to get 92,000 signatures.
I mean, some politicians can't even get that number.
Exactly, to get on the ballot. That's really scary.
Right. No, I mean, these kids were great. I think people were really keen on hearing what these kids had to say, because, you know, we all know this, but, like, you know, it's their future. It's sort of it's sort of thrown out there all the time, and it's like we say that a lot, but here's these kids really talking about their future. And I just think that really caught a lot of people's attention.
And in your notes you gave me, I mean, I love to give a shout out. There was a Concord Elementary in Glen Mills, Pennsylvania, and the Park School in Brookline, Massachusetts. Robin Williams, that's great. I mean, who doesn't love Robin Williams? You had a member of Congress, Jared Huffman. And then I think we should talk a little bit about, I listened to one of your audio things. I mean, I love doing the research on this project. Didn't Dixon Ticonderoga, they are a big art supply company, come to you and establish a take back program?
Well, yes, it was really exciting. Last summer, kind of early in the summer, 2012, we got a call, and the CEO arranged for a conference, and in the conference said, you know, we really like what these kids have said here, and we think they're right, and we want to challenge ourselves to see if we can come up with a take-back program, an easy-to-partake in take-back program. That's really important, something that the kids can easily do. And they did it. They came up with something over the summer, and by September, the beginning of the school year last year, they announced it. And just a few weeks before announcing it, that the CEO and some of his staff were out here, and we did a little press conference at KTVU Studios over in Oakland, and he announced the program, and that clip can be seen on our petition. In fact, most of the major events of the petition can all be found in the news feed. If you go to change.org/Crayola, you can go to the petition, see the various letters that we've written for the petition, and then you can see our news feed.
And trust me when I say you'll get sucked in like I did. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to click on this, I'm going to click on that, because it's really, really great stuff. So believe it or not, I told you when I talked to you a couple of days ago, the time would fly. We have to take a quick break. And when we come back, I would like to talk with you about a little bit of a deeper cut about the toxicity in the products, why you were so inspired to take a look at those, and the responsibility of big corporations in stepping up for things like this, and really what you accomplished and the program you set into place. So everybody stay here with me. Land Wilson and Mariana Stanley from Sun Valley Elementary School in San Rafael, California, just outside of the Golden Gate Bridge. We'll be right back and hear more about how the Kid Power got the attention of Crayola. Stay here with me.
Can you predict the future? The reality is we can't, but we can be ready for it. Funded by the National Science Foundation, researchers at the University of Arizona are working on a $3 million project to study the monsoon and learn about our changing desert weather, climate, and ecology. Such knowledge will help guide us to a more sustainable future, not just for our desert, but for the world. Now that's thinking ahead. The University of Arizona. Big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
It's got advanced technology. It's got major breakthroughs in technology everywhere you look. It's the 2013 Honda Accord. Hi there, this is Mrs. Green, and I want to share with you that after nearly 40 years of heritage, this is the most stunning Accord ever. The highly respected Automotive Magazine raves that the 2013 Honda Accord offers unparalleled talent of goodness. Please visit Chapman Honda at 4646 East 22nd Street in Tucson to check it out and see for yourself.
You can always find things around the house to give to Goodwill, but I have a bigger reason to give. My brother, Jim. When Jim was just 6 weeks old, he had a stroke. He had to rewire his brain to do most things we all take for granted. Thanks to Goodwill, Jim has a job and a sense of purpose. You know how they say your donation to Goodwill changes lives? Well, it's true. Goodwill is the best thing that ever happened to Jim. Please donate today.
Go deep underwater without getting wet. Study bugs like a real scientist. Make your shadow move in colors. These are just three reasons to visit the exciting hands-on new exhibits at the Children's Museum Tucson, the region's only museum just for kids. For 25 years, we've ignited kids' imaginations at the Children's Museum Tucson. That's something to celebrate. And admission is only $2 on the first Sunday and on the 25th of each month this whole year. Children's Museum Tucson, where imagination and learning connect.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to, and we're giving you such great things to think about today. I am really excited and thrilled to have as my guests Lan Wilson, who is a parent, a teacher, a volunteer, an environmental author, and Mariana Stanley, a student at Sun Valley Elementary School in San Rafael, California. And we are hearing about their amazing story. A small group of young people on a green team that set out to challenge a huge corporation. It is a real David and Goliath story with a happy ending. Crayola to start a recycling program for their plastic markers. And because of the tenacity and hard work of these kids and their families and the school, they succeeded. So, Land, let's talk a little bit about... There really is a deeper issue here. There is a bigger picture. It's not just about recycling Crayola markers, but it's a little bit to me about the responsibility that big corporations have to be responsive to things like this, even reeling it back a little more about their manufacturing processes, but we're not going to take that on. So let's start with recycling. So let's talk about the place from which you come about our disposable lifestyle and what it's doing to our environment.
Well, you know, there's a lot of talk about how our disposable lifestyle degrades the environment. And in my family, I watched my kids begin to use plastic markers as early as age 2. And I believe that they are one of the very first disposable products that kids start using themselves. You know, you could say that we condition them as early as age 2, that it's okay to waste this resource and dispose of it in a way that ends up degrading our environment. You know, it's no wonder that they're so conditioned to the disposable lifestyle, or we are so conditioned to this
totally
disposable lifestyle because it starts at such an early age.
Right. It dried up, throw it in the garbage. That's what I used to say to my kids. Oh, well, that's dry. Just go put it in the trash.
Right. And that's just something, you know, if we're going to make it as a species, we need to get companies to step up and to take action for the good of all. You know, we need our companies to embrace this new era of corporate social environmental responsibility. You know, we need to build a culture where companies strive to be superheroes for people that they're claiming to serve. And you know, I'm pro-business. I'm optimistic, and I know that this is something that we can do. It's work. We got to work together. But you know what? You know, one of our greatest instincts as humans is our ability to work together.
And here's the thing. You say you're pro-business, and to me, this is all about being pro-business, because if we run out of landfill space and our oceans are dead and the food supply is compromised, there's not going to be any business. So to me, when we're talking about these issues, it's really pro-business. It's called staying in business. So I'm glad that you brought that up. I'm a capitalist. I love the American society, but stewardship has to go hand in hand with everything that big companies are doing now, if you ask me.
There's this really great little comic, and there's these two people talking. One is a business person, and one is an environmentalist, and they're talking. And what the business leader says to this little guy is that, you know, the destruction of the planet may be the price that we have to pay for a healthy economy.
It's such a
gem of a little comic, and I think it kind of sums up. You know, we need to make a shift, and it's exciting because that shift is happening.
It is happening, and there's an urgency. I mean, to me, I hear it in your voice. There is an urgency. We have to make the shift, and we've like kind of got to run a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Paul Hawken writes about it in his book Blessed Unrest, how the largest movement in the world came into being and why no one saw it coming. And he does such a great job at talking about how there are more people now in history working towards healing the planet than ever before, and that it's just growing. And it's not a right or wrong thing. It's not a pro-business, anti-business thing. It's a matter of just good common sense.
And all of us, I could not agree with you more. So let's go back to what happened. So you did the petition. You got 92,000 signatures. So then did Crayola say, okay, we hear you. We'll come to the table. Let's start talking. What happened after you got the signatures and change.org helped pump up the volume?
Well, they change.org was fantastic. And you had mentioned this a little before. We had a couple other teachers from around the country step up with their group of kids who really threw in some force to our petition. Mike Carroll is an art teacher at Concord Elementary in Glen Mills, Pennsylvania, and he worked with a whole group of kids that he called his Kids Who Care. Just a fantastic group. They made these wonderful videos in support of this project, and they got on board. And I smile every time I
it's making
think about
me
their
smile.
Videos.
I mean, it's really great. It was catching on. You ignited their fire too.
And they ignited our fire too. And then Ted Wells, he's the one who did the Lorax petition, and all his kids. They did a video or a couple videos, and were really there behind us, giving us their, you know, their thumbs up and encouragement. And he also is the one who started the catalog canceling challenge, which is a project that Mariana was very involved in this year also, where kids in different grades compete against each other to cancel the most number of unwanted catalogs. It's a way to help save trees. And he had started this, and it's a national program, and it's so fun. Kids get so engaged and so involved, and they really make a difference.
I hope you can hook me up with him, because he's got to be on my show. It's like he's on my heroes list.
Absolutely, he is definitely in my. I have a little file of heroes in my email file box, and he's in there for sure. So let's see. So we had these people that kind of stepped up, like, you know, then we got that resolution from the California Legislature Assembly from Jared Huffman. He was an assembly member at the time. Now he's our congressman. And it was just a recognition for the Kids Who Care and all the work that they did to ask Karela to do this and to have Dixon Ticonderoga step up and, you know, challenge themselves and come up with a plan and in response to, you know, their requests. So we didn't hear from Karela until about the springtime, but, you know, I always felt, we love Karela, and we're very clear about that from the very beginning. And, you know, they do care about the environment. They make their products with solar power, and they have other great environmental programs out there. And to me, it just made perfect sense that they would do this, and I never had any doubt that they wouldn't do it. It just took some time, and that makes sense to me too, because I know when you know there's a large company, there are a lot of people that have got to sign on and make decisions, and they're owned by Hallmark, and so that you know there's probably some things there to have to
yeah
to
it's
go
complicated
so
it's not just like flipping a switch and they're a huge corporation.
Right, and so everything kind of made sense to me with the timing. I wish there was a little more engagement between the kids and Karela, but it just didn't work out that way. But, you know, they stepped up and they created something. They created a take-back program. I don't think it's perfect, but it is an amazing step in the right direction. You know, their program acknowledges something called product stewardship or extended producer responsibility, and that's where companies help help society to reprocess some of these things that they are the experts in making. You know, we need their help. We can't do it on our own. And that was made very clear to me by somebody named Patty Garbarino, who's the president of our waste management company here in Marin. It's one of the leading cutting-edge waste management companies in the country. And she actually shared in a conference that I was at about a year ago that, you know, our goal here in Marin is to get to zero waste by 2025. And she said that the only way that we can do that is to get kids or get companies to embrace extended producer responsibility. We need them, and they need us, and we need to work together.
And the consumer has such power when it comes to that. So explain the program, because I want to get to that, because when we come back, I really want to ask Mariana a lot of questions about what was happening for her and her role and giving all that stuff up. I've got a lot of great questions for her. So how does the program work?
Okay, so with either Dixon Ticonderoga's program or Crayola's program, typically at a school, either a parent or a teacher would sign up, make an account, and then with Crayola, when you collect enough of the markers, then you print out a label, and that gets shipped right back to their processing center. Now, to really make it work, what you need a teacher or a parent to do a little bit of legwork with the teachers, and if you can have a little collection bag in each classroom, that's great, and then you have one student or a couple students in each classroom in charge of bringing that bag to your main big box. Our main big box is kept in our multi-purpose room, where we actually have our green team meetings and a lot of our conferences and assemblies, and that you just fill that box up there, and you just have either one parent or teacher or staff member at school just responsible for looking at it when it's full and, you know, packaging it up, basically.
And it so can work. You know, I'm sure you're familiar with TerraCycle, and I've had Albie's Aches on my show, and the stuff that people send to them, it blows me away. I mean, they find a use for everything. So if you get someone that's really going to be the anchor and does the buy-in and has the passion, yes, it's a little complicated, but it just takes one person. And our schools here in Southern Arizona, one organic garden after another is opening. They're raising chickens. They're serving their organic food for lunch. They're collecting cartons. So I'm certainly hoping through our social media channels, we'll get other schools throughout Southern Arizona and Arizona and the country to get that parent or that teacher or that administrator to say, this is really not that hard, folks. We got to put a bag up in the classroom, get somebody from the PTA or the PTO to get excited about it. And then, so they collect the markers, and then does Crayola cover the cost of shipping? How does that part work?
Yes, they cover the cost of shipping. It's a postage paid shipment form.
So it's really not that hard. I mean, it's just a little bit of work on everybody's part to make something really big happen. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, how did you, I want to talk a little bit about change.org, because you've said such great things about them, and they were a part of this. When you approach them about something, is there a vetting process? How do you begin to partner with them? Because they were a big part of making this happen.
Well, we got lucky, and, you know, they get between, I've heard, 10 to 15,000 petitions, new petitions every month.
Oh, my gosh.
And they pick, I want to say, between 30 to 50, you know, every I don't know, maybe every couple months or quarter or half year, a very small number of petitions that they say, hey, we might be able to help here, or we really like this. And we got lucky, and they liked what we were doing, and I think they saw, hey, this is really exciting. There's a lot of voices here from kids. And so they stepped up to kind of help, you know, kind of give us some guidance and, you know, tips on working with the media and encouragement. And that was
And to get
that
picked
amazing.
By them. And, you know, it cracks me up when you say luck, because it really, really did. It wasn't luck. You can think that, and that's good. But from where I sit, it was a lot of work, a lot of kids, your time, and a lot of people lining up to say, yeah, let's pump up the volume on this one. So maybe luck, you know, maybe a lot of kids' power in action.
And but I do want to say, you don't need to have a group like Change.org behind you to have a successful petition. And you also, and this was one thing that was shared to me by just one of our, there are two people at Change.org that we worked with, Corinne Ball and Pullen Moody, that were just, they were deputy campaign directors that we communicated with. And Corinne had said something to me that was really important, and she said, you know, you don't have to have lots of signatures for a successful petition. You know, you can have, depending on who you're sending this to, under 1,000 signatures can be a successful petition. So nobody should be dissuade from doing a petition by thinking, oh, I've got to get this number of signatures, because it doesn't work like that. It really is not so much a numbers game. Yes, it helps and it's nice, but it really doesn't, it's not what makes a successful petition.
And even with politicians, I mean, I know that I've got, you know, my friend Ron Barber is in Congress right now, and he was, I'm sure you know who he is. He was one of the people that was shot when Gabby Giffords was. And he's a really dear friend that I worked with over 30 years ago. And he told me, he said, Gina, if we get 10 letters in our office, our staffers are paying attention. So you're so right. And I love that you brought that up. Don't be daunted by, well, I can't do that. We need to get 90,000 signatures. You can go.
And that's what's so
it's important.
Awesome about change.org and some of the other petition platforms is that it's a place to go. You know, we needed them because we couldn't get response from, you know, the regular channel of just the telephone and asking for a conversation. We needed something like that, and it was there. And
Then Crayola listened, because they still could have said no. And I think the really good news in that is that they did say yes. And I just got the two-minute warning again. And let's end your part. I want to talk to Mariana when we come back, Mariana. But in terms of kids' power, just quickly tell me your sense of kids' power in general. How can we harness that power for the future of our planet through doing programs like yours? And I'm going to give you like a minute. That's not fair at all.
Well, I guess, you know, just really paying attention to that thing that we all hear, you know, the future is, you know, belongs to the kids. It's their future. I mean, well, if we really believe that, let's act on it.
And engage them and listen to them. I mean, they're so smart.
Let's take that seriously. Let's really take that seriously. Let's not mess around. You know, we're going to do this. You know, we have to do it. we have to make the world a better, cleaner, safer place. We have to. We're going to do it. And I'm committed, and I know you are. And let me just use this little opportunity here to acknowledge you, because what you're doing by helping get out this information is this kind of thing that helps get people to understand, like, hey, these programs are out there. You know, you can recycle these things. And I just want to acknowledge you, Gina, for everything that you're
doing.
And
I appreciate that. I do. And to me, it's pumping up the volume and adding my voice to yours and all the people in Mrs. Green's world, which is growing. So please stay here with me, everybody. How could you not? We are going to hear from Mariana Stanley, who is Kids Power, and we're going to talk about her journey. Stay here with me. We'll be right back.
Join us for a new Mrs. Green's World episode every Saturday at 12 noon Arizona time at MrsGreensWorld.com. All of our past shows are available as on-demand podcasts at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. Mrs. Green's World is a proud member of the Dream Vision 7 and Castle Rock Radio Networks. If you have questions about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. More Mrs. Green's World next.
She's the most exciting thing that's ever happened to you, and you want to spend eternity with her. She deserves nothing less than the best, an Abbott Taylor original. A diamond engagement ring as exceptional as she is that will make her eyes sparkle every time she sees it. Because we design and make our own jewelry, we can create something wonderful for every budget. I'm Abbott Taylor. I'd like to invite you to come see what Abbott Taylor Jewelers has waiting for you. With 35 years and thousands of original jewelry designs, no one has more experience in designing and making diamond jewelry in Tucson than Abbott Taylor Jewelers. We're proud to say, using recycled gold, we have saved over 100 million pounds of toxic waste from this planet. Abbott Taylor Jewelers at 6383 East Grant Road, on Facebook and on the web at atdiamonds.com. Abbott Taylor Jewelers. Diamond designs for everyone. Abbott Taylor Jewelers.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Green. The 2013 VW Jetta TDI is the sedan people love to love. It comes with a zippy turbocharged diesel engine that's 90% cleaner burning than previous diesel engines, and it goes farther on a tank of gas than a Toyota Prius. Chapman Volkswagen has a great selection of Jetta TDIs, so choose yours today at ChapmanTucson.com or in person at 4646 East 22nd Street in Tucson.
Can academic research really save the planet? This year, the University of Arizona took full ownership of Biosphere 2. With 5 ecosystems enclosed in over 7 million cubic feet of sealed glass, Biosphere 2 is a premier facility for environmental research, where the top minds in the world will come together to address some of humanity's greatest challenges, such as climate change. Now that's using your brains. The University of Arizona. Big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
You can save hundreds on home improvement by checking out Habitat for Humanity's Havastore. The Havastore sells new and gently used home improvement items for pennies on the dollar. You can find cabinets, doors, windows, light fixtures, furniture, and much more. Plus, our inventory is constantly changing. You'll be saving money, and all the profits go to Habitat for Humanity Tucson, helping to build a better community. The Havastore is located at 935 West Grant Road. You can reach us at 520-889-7200 or habitattucson.org.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And we're certainly giving you a lot of really important information to think about today. And it's all about kids' power and leadership and working to get big corporations to pay attention. And they did. You can tell that I'm really excited about the show. There's laughter and a lot of love in my voice. We're talking to Land Wilson. And now we're going to talk to Mariana Stanley, who is a student at Sun Valley Elementary School. And they indeed worked with Crayola to get a program started to recycle those Crayola markers that has been in everyone's home whoever had kids because they're fun and they're colorful and kids love to play with them. And now they're not going to be back to landfills if there's a call to action. So, Mariana, I'm so happy that you said yes to being on the show. Welcome to Mrs. Green's World. Are you there?
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. That's great. So how old are you and what are you doing on the Green Team? Why did you get on it?
Well, I'm 9, and, well, they first showed a video right when school started, and it inspired me to join them because it was helping to save the Earth, and I'm really interested in that.
That's just something to be so proud of. I don't think I was thinking about that when I was your age. So when you were on the Green Team, you joined kind of midway through this project to get Crayola to start recycling. What kind of things did you yourself do with you and your family to get word out about the petition or write letters? What was one of the things that excited you and that you did?
Well, I wrote a letter to Crayola saying that they should recycle their markers, and a lot of other kids in the Green Team did too, and 2 or 3 I think are on the website.
Okay, and that's good, so we can read those letters. And you said you care about the environment. What other things do you think are important that you talk about, even with your friends or with your family, that are important about the Earth and that are making a difference for the planet? Can you think of some things that you think matter too?
Well, there's a lot of pollution, and cars make pollution, so I talk about bike riding to school and walking to school and skateboarding to the park, or doing just little stuff like that makes a big difference.
It really does. And that's one of the big polluters is pollution from cars and the kinds of cars that people drive. So I think that's great. What about, and if you don't have an answer for this, it's okay, because I didn't call you ahead of time and give you a list of questions. How important do you think it is for healthy eating? And what's your thought on, you know, eating healthier foods and bringing healthier things to school? What do you and your family have to say about healthy eating?
Well, healthy eating is good for you, and
but you'd rather have peanut butter and jelly than a spinach salad? I mean, I know I would too.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
And peanut butter and jelly is healthy if you're buying the right kind of peanut butter and jelly. Let's talk about you and your friends. I know one of your other friends, I think her name was Brooke, was interviewed by Annie Leonard from The Story of Stuff. Did she talk to you about that and what it was like for her?
She didn't talk much about it, but yeah.
And what did she say it was like? Was she nervous being on the radio?
No, not really.
Well, that's good. I mean, you kids are amazing to me. And you're on the video. Are you on the video that's on change.org? Because I don't remember all the kids' names.
No, I'm not in that video, but I think someone else I know is in.
You'll have to send me a picture so that we can put it up on Mrs. Green's Facebook page so that everybody knows what you look like. Now, are you one of the kids who still uses those markers and likes to use them? I mean, I'm a big kid who likes to use them because they have all those neon colors and you can mark them up when you're reading things. So do you use Crayola markers?
Yes. I use them a lot.
At home and in school?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things that I do.
Well, that is typical. Now, tell me about this. Do you have friends that don't go to Sun Valley Elementary that you talk about the recycling program to, or most of your friends from the same school?
Well, most of my friends are from the same school, and I don't see other friends as often, so I haven't seen them in a long time. So if I ever saw them, when I see them, I would definitely tell them about it.
That's really important. Now, when school starts in a couple of weeks, I think you told me it's like the 22nd of August or something, are you still going to be on the green team?
Yes.
Okay, and what do you know what you're going to be doing? Because you have this wonderful thing that got started with the Crayola Recycling Program. What are some of the things that you think you'd like to work on for this year? Are you going to take on another big company, or are you just going to get this program rolling?
Well, I think that we're going to do the catalog canceling challenge again.
Yes. That's great. Go ahead.
Which is where you cancel the catalogs that you don't use anymore or want. And so they don't send you those anymore, so it's not wasting as much paper.
You can go to the mailbox and stand at your recycling bin and just throw out a half a pound of paper sometimes. So I'm proud to tell you, Mariana, that Mrs. Green did stop most of her catalogs. And it took some time. So do you know how that works? Are you're going to have to get your parents, at least one of your parents, to get involved? Or can the kids just do it? Tell me about how that program works, or do you know? And Land, if you have to, you know, jump in here, I'm really excited about this program because I never heard about it.
Well, Mariana, you canceled 10 catalogs on your own, right?
Yes.
Tell Tina how you did that.
Mariana, did you get 10 catalogs? I want to know about that, too, and your shopping habits.
Well, people send us about 6 catalogs or more a day, so...
Oh.
Yeah, it's a lot of catalogs. And we don't want all those catalogs, so they're just basically wasted. And so I called up the company, and I told them, "Hi, well... we love your stuff, but we don't really use your catalog so much anymore. Could you please not send it to us anymore, and we'll still look online," or something like that. And then they just don't send it to us anymore.
Now, I have to ask you this. When you call a company, I mean, you sound young, you're very articulate, so that's not a problem. Did they say, "Well, we have to speak to one of your parents," or were all the companies saying, "Okay, thank you," and listened?
All the companies said, "Okay, thank you."
That's really amazing. I really am so proud of you, and I can tell
Let
you what...
Let me just say something really nice that the Catalog Canceling Challenge does is they give the kids a script. So when they call, they're saying, "Hello, I'm Mariana Stanley, I'm calling to take my family's name off of your mailing list." So she's calling on behalf of her family. I've been with my kids, every call is a little different. Sometimes they might ask for parent permission, in which case the parent can just get on the phone quickly and just say, "Yes, it's okay." But a lot of times they don't, because the kids are, they're responsible enough to say, "Hey, please take my name off the list." And what's exciting is that the companies listen, and the kids feel empowered, and they get to, have this adult do something when they're asking them to do something.
And Mariana, when Land says that about kids feeling empowered, does getting recognition from outside of your school, does that make you feel stronger and powerful about what you want to do to help preserve this planet of ours at your young age? Does it make you feel good?
Yes.
It should, kiddo, because I'll tell you, we need you and your friends to be doing things like this. And when I was your age, I did not think about or worry about one thing about the planet, because first of all, we didn't waste as much. I'm older than dirt. I'm surely old enough to be your grandmother, but we didn't worry about it. I was carefree and had fun, and yet our family was not wasteful. And I have to ask you this again, Mariana, I'm not putting you on the spot. What is the feeling you get about plastic water bottles? Because I think that's another big, bad danger to the environment. Do you take a reusable bottle to go to school, or is it an idea that you find exciting? Again, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'd love to know what you think.
I always bring a reusable water bottle to school, and most of the kids at our school usually do now, so it's really good.
It's really, really, really important. We used to have a thermos, and I would get, sometimes I lived in New Jersey, and I'd get hot chocolate in my thermos, and that was a pretty big treat. So it's really good to know that kids are doing that. And what about the school snacks? I know that I've had two angry moms on the show, and they're just a wonderful movement. They're really not angry at anyone, just angry about school lunches. Is your school on board about serving healthy school lunches, or do they serve school lunch? And what about the snack machines?
Well, they do have a salad bar at lunch.
Great.
So they have a salad bar, but they usually don't have something. They have something pretty healthy, but not always like really, really healthy.
You know, that's really
usually
okay.
Usually like hot dogs or mac and cheese or beans.
Right. Well, hopefully we'll see that change all the time. And I'm telling you, kiddo, and at 8, I was a junk food junkie. My mother was a really good, healthy cook, and I was the kid that always wanted another chocolate bar. So I understand that. And French fries. We didn't have school lunch because I went to a small private school, but it was my mom packed healthy lunches, and I think that matters a lot. So is there anything else that you hoped I would ask you or a thought you want to share or how proud you are to be on the Kids Who Care team? What else would you like to say before I go back to land and ask for some calls to action for our listeners? You want to say hi to anybody, to any of your girlfriends or your mom and dad or anything fun like that?
No. How about a hello to your mom and your dad and your sister?
Okay.
That's perfect.
Hello.
That's perfect. It couldn't be any more perfect. And thank you from the heart of Mrs. Green for what you're doing, and stay on that Green team. And you guys are going to have to keep me posted about what you're doing, because we don't want this to be a one-time thing. So, Land, let's take the last, 3 minutes and really talk about, as tangibly as you can, the website that people need to go to, how they learn more about it. I know it's change.org/Crayola. There's a lot of information there. But in terms of the Take Back program, just go through that one more time and give a couple of, give your websites, because I think people will really be excited to know who you are and what you're doing as a good steward of the planet.
I have a lot of this information on my website, which is just my name, landwilson.com. The change.org website, that should stay up there, I think, as long as change.org is around, and that's change.org/Crayola. But the direct links to these take-back programs are crayola.com, and you would go to the tab that says For Educators, and you'll come to the Color Cycle program. You can always Google Color Cycle and get the link that way too. And then with Dixon Ticonderoga, you would go to prangpower.com. That's P-R-A-N-G power.com. And you can Google that too, or just go straight to that. And you can find
One of the things I'm going to do is I took notes, and we'll put those, we'll find out what they're doing on Twitter and tag them and use our social media platform. I have to say a huge, sincere thank you and do a little forward promotion for next week. I'll be interviewing Regina Beidler, who's a longtime farmer owner for Organic Valley Farmer Owned Co-op. I love them. And Matt Chouanier, who was a recipient. We're going to have another young person on. He's 18, though. Who is the recipient of Annie's Sustainable Agriculture Scholarship and a member of Organic Valley's Generation Organic Program. Another young person who's giving us all hope for the future. Land Wilson, Mariana Stanley, thank you for being a part of Mrs. Green's World. Everybody, thank you for listening. And you can find all of this good stuff out if you become a part of the Mrs. Green's World community of people who care. Go to my website, mrsgreensworld.com. Land, we will have the podcast up a day after the show broadcasts. And Mariana, you just keep in touch with me and let me know what you're doing to make a difference. I think you guys are great, and I hope we'll have a repeat on what's happening next. Stop those catalogs. And Lan, if there's anything else you want to send me, we'll put it out into the world of Mrs. Green. Thanks for being a part of this. Make it a great green wink, and you guys just say a big goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye. What a way to end.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you.